Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Hello, everybody. We are back live. So this is an actual hi. Thank you for watching us at Box Office Breakdown on the Popcorn Talk Network. Yes. I am Sarah Stretton. We are missing JTE today, but I do have Tom.
Will you hello. Say hello?
You
hello,
said you
everybody.
Have some points to address?
Yeah, I got a lot of things to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, JTE is in Compton for the Straight Out of Compton day premiere at the Compton Swap Meet.
At the Swap Meet?
Yeah, they're showing it on like a big screen projector for like the poor people and stuff. And, you know, or the people who just, you know, for Compton.
For Compton.
Yeah, for Compton. It's like
are you
daycare.
Seeing this movie this weekend?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
We agree on one thing, finally.
Yeah, that's,
in
I mean,
the scheme of things. I think everyone, all the schmoes, all want to see Straight Outta Compton. It's like the one thing I feel like people agree about.
A lot of white people are going to know what Compton is now. I mean, I grew up on NWA. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But let's talk about the main things. I mean, look, Thursday, you know, Team B.O.B. was able to beat, you know, John, a great opponents with John Campia, who was fantastic. And Tiffany was even great. And she proposed to me with a lollipop ring. I have it at my house. It's in a...
A lollipop ring? Do you mean a ring pop?
Yeah, ring pop. It's in a glass case now. We'll see how that goes. You know, look, I mean, they played well. They were up 8-2 going into the second round. JT killed it. I mean, I wasn't good at all. It was very hard questions for me. I'm not an animation guy. I'm not a fantasy guy. You guys, everybody knows that.
It sounds like someone should have been there.
Yeah, you probably should have. I mean, Spicy came through, but you had a, you know, you were at the after hours. But my bone is, I don't understand why people are crying about this third round. Look, it is what it is. They were up 9-7. That's like a 2-run lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. It wasn't a blowout.
This is what I say about the third round. The only person who should be able to complain about the third round is Ken. And Ken doesn't complain about it, so no one else should.
Right. That was a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a Hail Mary at the end of a game. And that's what the third round is. It's a Hail Mary. It's a walk-off grand slam. You have to close the game. If you don't close, that's it. Yes, they were up 12-6. They missed a question. They bet six. Tie game. They get one more question, and they got a wrong again. That's what happens. What are you going to stop a game with, like, 30 seconds left that, you know, one team's been winning for 59 minutes, and you don't throw the Hail Mary? You throw a Hail Mary, and sometimes it gets complete. And that's exactly what happened. I just don't get it. I don't know why people are going bananas over it. They need to get a concept and wake up. Just because their hero lost, it is what it is. Now, that being said, We'll see people
this
in 7 weeks.
This was soap box number one of the day.
We'll see people in 7 weeks.
I feel like there's more to come.
And we'll win next time, guaranteed, if I get the right questions. I got most of the Campia Spielberg questions and most of Tiffany's. But I don't know how many arrows.
Wait, that's
like,
not... Also, you can't complain
Elijah
about that because that is part of the game.
Person.
That's part of the game.
That's true, too. And like I said, if we would have lost, we would have lost fair and square. I had no problems with that, but it wasn't a blowout. What are you going to end a game after two rounds? Oh, yeah, guys, yeah, you won 9-7. Oh, real fucking cool. Anyway, that being said, I don't want to talk about it anymore. But nobody should complain about it, especially, you know, look, people, there's going to be blowouts.
I don't know if you want me to cut you off, because you seem really righteous about this.
You know, every post is about, oh, the scoring system is
stupid. This show is about Box Office Breakdown, and so I'm going to cut you off and say some Box Office-related things.
But what about the after hours?
Oh, you want to talk about the after hours? After hours can come after we announce some winners.
All right.
Last week, of all of us, Finstock and I tied 2 out of 5. I really, really should have gotten 3 out of 5, but some people were rushing me.
No, you were dealing with, you thought, JT convinced you that Shaun of the Sheep was going to make some money.
I was convinced. Just to point out, though, also, JT pushed to have his lineup changed, and still we wouldn't have had a clear winner. However, for you fans out there, we did have a clear winner. It's going to Renee Flores, who got 5 out of 5 and was the only out of 40 guesses, was the only person who got 5 out of 5.
Congratulations.
So congrats, Renee. Also, we had a bunch of our guessing games with 4 new movies coming out. So starting with Fantastic Four, winners Lawrence London and Danny Kost. For the gift guessing game, we have Andreas Dombrowski, Trey White, and Ryan Martinson. For Shaun the Sheep, because it just had to be in there, we have Mark Menchaca. And winner of the Ricky and the Flash guessing game goes to Marco Visosio and Ryan Martinson again.
Well done.
So a lot of winners out there this week.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys for participating. Thank you for beating us.
Yeah.
We will get back to it this week. I don't know what we're gonna do because JT is not here.
Yeah,
this
well,
is a
I mean,
tight battle.
He may call in a little bit.
We'll see. If he calls in, we have to get his predictions.
Like I said, overall it was a good weekend for Box Office Breakdown fans and Box Office Breakdown hosts. Because we won Thursday and then we crushed in the after hours. We might have been the only semi-cognizant people there.
I was just chilling with my drink.
You held yourself like a woman.
I feel like I'm a very mellow drunk person. At least when other people are not so mellow.
People know how to handle their stuff. I mean, you know, some people went bananas. It was what it was. I think it was fantastic for about 2 hours and 20 minutes and then... It went totally off the charts, not on my part, but and not on yours either, and not on JTE's.
Yeah, as a team, at least we can all go drink together and be fine.
Absolutely. We got home perfectly fine.
Perfectly safe and perfectly happy.
Right.
Well, now we can go on to this weekend's numbers, which were a bit of a mess themselves. starting with number 5 did end up going to Ant-Man, just barely beating out Ricky and the Flash and Minions, all of them coming in the $7 million margin. Ant-Man came in with 7.8. I said they were all going to be around each other.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, Ant-Man, staying in there. Next, number 4, which you did not predict, Vacation, staying in the top 5 with 9.1 million dollars, only dropping 38%.
That's really good for this.
Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go to our new releases, The Gift, mm-hmm. from Blumhouse, bringing in about 12 million. That's good because it probably has a conservative budget. They always do.
Yep.
Fantastic Four, the flop of the weekend, if not of the year or of superhero movies in general.
Boy,
lot of people are just crushing on these numbers.
We'll talk
about
that.
It brought in $26 million. This is a movie with, I believe, $122 million budget.
Damn close.
This is when they have their fingers crossed for international numbers.
Yeah, they'll do it.
And then Mission Impossible Rogue Nation is holding on to its number one spot with a 47% drop to $29.4 million.
I think, look, we'll talk about, you know, Ant-Man, great. Back in the top 5, perfect. Vacation, decent hold. Mm-hmm. I think it benefited from Fantastic Four being just terrible. There was no other real comedies in the marketplace. They're like, let's go see Vacation, check it out, see what's up. The Gift, I'm really happy it did these numbers. Like I said, people like creeps. People like going to these kind of creepy movies, and me being one of them. I was supposed to see it yesterday, but I went to a comedy show. But I will see it this week. You know, Joel Egerton, great job for, you know, directing.
You're not going to go see Ricky and the Flash?
I told you
I
about
feel like
Ricky
that's
and the Flash.
Straight up your alley.
No, I would never see that. There's no market for that. Everybody who saw that movie.
It brought in like $7 million. That
is. Yeah, those are all Meryl Streep fans. Other than that, nobody cares.
Yeah,
this will make like $2 million next week. It's
like
done.
A B, Cinnamon Sports.
And
not
then, you know,
on strong.
Then you look at Mission Impossible. Great hold. It was going to make this money regardless after the first week. Great word of mouth. And I think, you know, obviously everything benefited from Fantastic Four being just a terrible film. I mean, Josh Trank going out there and saying, like, this wasn't my film and stuff like that is damage control. Fox is in big trouble
this
with this.
This just turned into the gossip movie.
Yeah.
So much has just been, there's articles, like I was reading one on Vulture today, that's like, let's get into the nitty gritty of who is actually to blame for Fantastic Four. And it's like, oh, this movie from the very beginning, the director and the studio were at each other's throats. Whatever her name is, Mara or whatever, was mistreated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Miles Teller was like fighting with the director, even though Trank fought to have him on set.
It's a bunch of blame passing.
Gossip.
It's typical
just
blame
a gossip
passing.
Cow.
I mean, look, this was supposed to be a franchise starter. It's now a franchise destroyer. I don't think you'll see another Fantastic Four movie for a decade, if not more.
Both both have very similar arguments. The original, not the original, but the Jessica Alba Fantastic Four also had a ton of gossip mm-hmm. around it about how she was just, she came out saying that she was just over-sexualized and basically mm-hmm. her lines were taken away and they made her costume more revealing.
Well, that might be a good thing for her. The lines are being taken away. And the form-fitting outfit is good,
but
too.
There was a ton of gossip around that one as well.
Terrible movies, and they're terrible superheroes. Nobody cares about these guys. Look, I think, you know, the power of social media destroyed this movie. You had John, Stuckman, Schmoes, everybody was like, do not go see this. And, you know, you're talking over 2 million views. There's 2 million people are going to be like, I'm not going to go see this movie. And then some people just see it for the shock factor. $26 million out the gate in this is unbelievable. Fox is already taken all the billboards down quicker than Subway took the Jared posters down. I mean, they are going hard on just getting rid of this movie and trying to wash the bad taste out of their mouth. Let it go overseas. Fox works magic overseas anyway. It'll make some of its money back. It'll probably do 200 worldwide, and they'll be like, get this out of here. And that's pretty much it.
What do you think this is going to do for the careers? Because that's what I'm interested in. If anything's drawing me into this movie, I do want to know how Miles Teller, B. Jordan, like, handled themselves. I want to know what they look like in these roles.
These guys are better actors in this movie. This is a cash grab for them. Mm-hmm. They probably all got paid more money than they've ever been paid before. I would do the same thing. I wouldn't care if the movie sucked. I'd be like, yeah, who do you want me to be? The Rock guy? Yeah, sure, whatever. Look at, what's his name? Jordan's going to be Creed. He'll get critical acclaim for that. No one's saying anything. Miles Teller just came off with Whiplash. You got Kate Mara. She does her thing within, you know, she does TV with the Netflix show.
She does House of Cards.
House of Cards, exactly. I don't even know who the Rock guy was. This is going to fall on Fox, and this is going to fall on Trank, period. And, you know, like I said, when a director comes out and starts just really bashing his own movie.
Run away from them.
Yeah, you know, he's not going to be directing any superhero movies anymore or any kind of big, large fantasy stuff.
Nothing that has this money behind it.
Go back to doing the found footage like Chronicle and stuff like that. Stick to what you're good at.
Well, Fantastic Four, if it drops, it's probably going to plummet even more than this. But it still could bring in another 10 next week.
If that. I would say somewhere around there, yeah.
We will see. The Gift got pretty good reviews. It's doing fine.
People love Creeps. I mean, it's hot when somebody leaves something on your doorstep.
None of the new releases, though, had anyone up in arms about how great they were. I didn't have anyone coming up to me being like, I saw a movie this weekend that you really need mm-hmm. to see. It's all being pushed towards next week's stuff. The movie that had the strongest reviews was Shaun of the Sheep, and of course only made like $4 million.
There's nobody's talking in it. It's a bunch of animal noises.
But it has the best reviews.
You can go outside and sit in the park and listen to that.
No, you'd have to go to like, in the park, you hear sheep, and I heard a saxophone in our park today.
Did
That's
you really?
About it. Yeah.
Oh, that was me. I got up around like 7 o'clock. I play the sax.
You play the sax?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to international numbers. Rogue Nation opened in 18 more overseas markets, collecting a stellar $65.5 million this weekend. That's from 58 total territories, and that boosts Paramount's international total to $156.7 million. Mm-hmm. So now, globally, we've got $265.4. We still have France, Brazil, and Italy, mm-hmm. followed by China again, opening in September. Mm-hmm. So MI5 looks like on course to make over $700 million worldwide, mm-hmm. Which could be a new high for Tom Cruise.
And he should be. I think that, this thing will cruise past, no pun intended, $700 million worldwide
I
for
think
sure.
It'll hit around there. I don't think it's...
Absolutely.
There's too much coming out between... Yes, you'll probably see a six and like... It's done well enough. The reviews have been solid enough. People are still excited about it. And Tom Cruise's performance is... People are happy. He's not being praised, but they're very satisfied with the role he gave.
He's a consummate professional. I'll say it 1,000 times over.
Moving on to Fantastic Four, which we have to talk about a little bit more before it disappears. The franchise featuring the cast, the first two Fantastic Four picks in the franchise featuring the different cast bowed to 56.1 million, that was in 2005, and 58.1 million in 2007. The new four opened to 34.1 million in 43 international markets this weekend. Fantastic Four 2 with the same new cast is already set to release for June 9th, 2017. But it'll be seen if there's any changes are made to that plan.
So it will definitely be a different director.
I think it could disappear altogether.
They're probably deciding that right now in the Fox studios. They're in the war room right now, mm-hmm. wondering what went wrong. You know what?
I don't even know if international money will save it for another sequel.
Probably not.
I don't know who they're going to get on board to direct it. Are the actors going to return?
No way. Are they contracted in? That's a possibility.
If any of the Star 4 actors isn't contracted in, I'd be very surprised to see them do this again.
Oh, yeah. I think if it makes under a certain amount of money, they probably contracts go void.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's terrible.
Have you seen it?
I wouldn't see this if you paid me.
All right. Disney Ant-Man has banked $147.4 million to date, and the global tally has shot up to $326.3 million. You still have Korea, Japan, and China to open. China's just holding on to these movies. See, this is what I'm going to say.
They opened Mousetrap.
Really think, yes, but they still have Ant-Man to open. Is Fantastic Four going to see enough money from China? Because they have other movies that are backed up that they have to see.
They see everything over
there. It's not going to save
it. It ain't going to make a lot of money, but it'll make some.
Not enough to save it.
The only thing that, nothing's opening in China right now because Mouse Hunt is making like $5 trillion over there.
Are you sure it's called Mouse Hunt? Monster Hunt.
Monster Hunt, whatever. Right? Same thing.
Mouse Hunt was like...
It's a monster. It's like a little Asian guy holding like a little Casper-looking type baby. I don't know what's going on over there.
Can we Google a picture of Monster Hunt?
We possibly could. And what did it
China
make this week? Somebody sent me something.
China?
Yeah, what Monster Hunt make this week over in China?
While we look that up, we can recap one thing. Minions worldwide haul vaulted past 900 million over the weekend. It now stands at 912, making it the number seven toon. What? The number seven toon of all time globally. Minions should crack 1 billion before it even opens in China on September 13, making it the highest grossing film yet in the Despicable Me franchise. It's also the worst movie yet in the Despicable Me franchise.
September might be a good time to attack China because everybody's going to be in the theaters checking out Ant-Man, Fantastic
Four,
Mission Impossible
5. Don't say things like that.
Oh, what, attacking China?
Yes.
I wasn't going to say like with weapons or anything. Let's just go over there and steal
candy?
The stuff they're making. Steal the stuff they're making and bring it over here.
I really don't want to be targeted by China, so please stop saying things
that. They love me over there. I have a bunch of friends.
Do we have any information
yeah,
on?
Yeah, it just, the mouse, the monster
wait,
hunt just
scroll
passed.
Scroll up a tiny bit.
It just passed.
The CGI live action fantasy epic now has a 221.41 million, making it the biggest Chinese film ever. Let's see if I can read this.
Yeah,
this is tiny writing. My eyes hurt. The box office records keep, tumbling in China. Oh, and it's moving as Monster Hunt gobbles up the competition for a second week and set the whole host of new markers for local films in the world's second biggest movie market. By the way, this is from The Hollywood Reporter, if you want to read the whole article. After taking the single day for IMAX, opening day, and opening weekend box office records for the Chinese film, Monster Hunt took the record for the fastest local film to pass the symbolic 1 billion RMB, which equals 169 million, figure in the domestic box office.
Do you think,
passing that milestone in only 8 days.
Do you think that like the president of China, whoever it is or whatever, just says like everybody go see this movie and then they do it, right? Because they have to, because it's communism.
No, I don't think that is what happens.
I think they're told what to do.
I think that, like as the article says, it is the second biggest movie making market. For so long, it always felt like you had...
It looks like the guy from
the
Big
blockbusters
Hero 6.
Were coming from the U.S. So, of course, there's like a bajillion and a half movie stars in India. And then there was all like the fancy foreign films coming
out.
What
is that little thing? It's like a little Casper, like kind of like seal with like a mohawk.
It's, that's a fairly accurate description.
Yeah, it's not bad, right?
Actually, I kind of want to see this now.
You could see it.
Well, were they showing it anywhere
yeah,
here?
Yeah, in the Chinese house, in the Chinese theaters down in downtown LA.
I'm going to see it.
You should.
Do you think it's any good?
They don't subtitle it, though.
Oh.
They don't do subtitles in China.
That's
they just play the movie
difficult.
Just the way they want to do it.
I don't know how to describe that thing. It kind of looks like
it's a seal with like it looks like it's
it
like slothy
like,
from Goonies a little bit, and then it has like the has that Japanese anime face, but it's
Sloth
Chinese
from Goonies.
Has a chia pet hair. It's Binch or whatever he is.
I don't know. It kind of there's actually a figure. It looks like it kind of looks like it has the face of the mermaids that were in Harry Potter.
Yeah,
except for it's like white.
Looks like one of those. Doesn't look like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Everyone,
for sure.
Look it up.
Yeah,
and then we can go see
Monster
it in
Hunt.
China. Monster
Zillion
Hunt.
Dollars.
It's China's baby.
Yeah.
All right, so we will be moving on back to our international game.
Yeah. We don't have JT to do the thing,
to,
but
to
let's
do the thing, but we can just move in.
It's time for I can't
the
do it.
International title game.
No.
Not as good as him.
No.
I can't act like that.
He gets, it's because he's dedicated.
It comes up.
It's like he really tries.
It's centered
soul.
In his stomach. And it makes its way up to its diaphragm, trachea.
Diaphragm,
larynx, whatever you want to call it. And then it just comes out and he delivers it so good.
It's not accurate.
He'd win an Oscar.
Diaphragm is like what you sing from.
Yeah. That's what it comes from.
He doesn't actually use his voice.
He brings it up. You ever watch his stomach when it does it? He puts it in and then as he says it, it poofs out. It's amazing. Anyway, that being said, for the gift here, you know, the foreign, everything's from China again. We're going to go with Jason Bateman, who is a pretty interesting fellow. Really good movies, sometimes.
I really like Jason Bateman.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's funny.
He's got dry, sarcastic humor, and he's you know, does movies that are actually really, really good. Like Bad Words was good.
Bad Words is really good.
You know, we got a couple on here that are good, actually. So,
all right.
One, Couples Resort.
Not a good movie.
Not a good movie. Sex Trading. Which makes sense. Teen Wolf 2. 18-year-old Wolf sequel. Okay.
Okay.
Juno. Dumpy, grumpy, pregnant lesbian with a bad outlook on life.
Really?
No. Just kidding. The Gift.
Wait, what? Is Juno not one?
No, it didn't have... It just said Juno, because that sounds like close to Chinese lettering and stuff. So, The Gift, the one he's in now. Evil Package.
All right.
Starsky and Hutch. Double Crazy. Police Net.
All right.
I didn't do Gift the other week, did I?
No.
No, okay. Couples Resort, once again.
Okay.
That one with, like, I think it was, like, Vince Vaughn and, like, Tracy Morgan or something. I don't know. Sex Trading. Teen Wolf 2, the classic, where he was Scott Howard's cousin and he went to the boxing ring and did amazing stuff. 18-year-old Wolf sequel. The Gift. Evil Package. Starsky and Hutch. Double Crazy Police Net.
Well, let's see. Why are you not looking at me?
Do we have JT on the line? Is he there? Does he want to join
is
in?
Is that what's happening?
Might be.
I was like, are you trying to avoid eye contact so I like can't read you?
Yeah, because I'm trying some new stuff. Do we have?
I'm also trying some new stuff.
Do we have somebody from the Compton Swap Meet on the phone?
Gremlin.
I thought we did.
Maybe he's gone again.
So now I have to pick.
Yes.
Well, Double Crazy, whatever is true.
Okay.
You got me confused about this Evil Package thing because you said you used it before, which makes me think that it's of note.
Uh-huh.
18-year-old Wolf sequel is too boring for you to come up with.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true.
And Sex Trading. So it's either Evil Package or Sex Trading.
Not here right now because that would help me save the world from Red Skull.
Oh, that's his voicemail.
What is happening?
He'll call again. You know what? They might have stole his phone over there.
Erg. We are going to go on with, I'm going to pick Evil Package.
Ah, okay.
Or Sex Trading. And okay. I'm going to go with Evil Package.
Do we have this guy again? I think we might have him.
Is he calling?
It looks like him. Do we have somebody from Compton?
Hey, what's going on,
in
guys?
Compton.
There
He's
he
not
is.
From Compton.
Hey, we just did the movie title thing, and you we didn't have you here to bring the energy up with it. So we're on it.
Tough,
hey,
man, but...
you want me to run these by you real quick?
No, I want to know what his predictions are and why he's
get them
in
too.
Compton.
Okay, we're going to figure that out. All right.
I'm covering this
There's a really good burger place in Compton. Or maybe that's in Inglewood.
No, that.
Really?
Yeah, no, that. Yeah,
yeah
don't go
like
there.
A really good. Yeah, no, it's really good.
Yeah, that's the place that Suge Knight ran over those people.
No, not that one. It's like a white, like.
Don't see that around here. I'm dead.
So what do you? So
it's so good.
So you're there doing the, Straight Outta Compton premiere for like the inner city kids over there at the swap meet, right?
Yeah, I gotta say it's been a little rough going so far. Mm-hmm. I lost my sneakers in the game of craps, and I'm not even sure how to play the game. But I think I won. But they were pretty adamant that I had to give them my sneakers.
Hey, man, even if you win over there, you're gonna lose.
That's a good point.
There's no
and
winning over there.
You actually got to be on your toes here, because like every once in a while you'll hear somebody yell "World Star," and then they just start knocking dudes out.
I don't know. I just have really good memories because I remember I had a really good burger either in there or in Inglewood.
Probably Inglewood. You wouldn't go to.
It
Compton.
Was like humongous. It was like the patty was like this big, and it was just like drenched in grease.
Mm. Oh well, super yeah. Sounds interesting.
Well, the hardest thing about coming here was I'm wearing like blue jeans. Like a red and blue striped shirt because I'm really trying to stay neutral in the whole Blood Crip thing.
Yeah.
It's not easy. People keep coming up to me and asking, and I just kind of run away.
You want to stay away from the Grape Street Crips. Although you could say, just mention my name down there.
Really?
The Grape Street Crips. I used to serve one of the guys. He's a good dude. I used to clean his carpets and stuff like that. Nice guy.
It's
apparently Straight Outta Compton, you know, it takes place about, you know, around the L.A. riots and everything and how Blood and Crip kind of came together.
Right.
I thought you were just going to say, you know, Straight Outta Compton takes place in Compton. And I'd be like, really, JTE?
I know.
Who would have thunk?
Listen, I've been rap battling people every chance I get over here. You know, I can rap pretty decently.
You know what? JTE is a rapper. He has a couple of YouTube raps and stuff like that. What did you go by? JT Smooth or something?
Silky J.
That's what it was.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is this like Googleable? Like, can I find evidence?
Silky J and my friend Robert was B Smooth.
Yes, they had a group in like the early 90s.
Is it Googleable? Like, can I YouTube it?
Hey, we're gonna try.
Imagine like Million Manili versus like with a mix of Vanilla Ice.
That's what it was. There's a Silky J at Twitter. Is that you?
Silky J does not look like you.
I tried to get it, but it was already gone when I tried grabbing it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we just talked about Fantastic Four. We were talking about our illustrious victory on the Schmodown. We talked about how we were the only cognizant ones in the after hours. So we said it was a big win weekend for Team BOB.
Yeah, it was pretty messy. I gotta be honest, the screen here is pretty similar to after hours. Feel.
Yeah. Is there a little like mad?
A lot of people with brown paper for bags. I don't think they're drinking like Ripple.
No, they're probably drinking like the purple juice.
the purple syrup?
The purple stuff.
JT, I don't want to lose you before you give us your top five predictions. Which is hard because I know we're not there yet, but you need to be part of our game.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, what was it, a tie this week?
Me and Sarah tied it to 2 of 5.
You had 0.
You had 0.
In case you're wondering.
You would have, Sarah would have won if you didn't convince her to take
to
out
Ant-Man. To put
Sean
the sheep in.
Yeah.
Thanks, JT.
Yeah. It was all part of my plan. We're just trying to get Sarah Twitter.
That's true.
So I was just trying to influence her.
That's true.
No, this is supposed to be a team here.
Yeah, but this is an individual
two
game.
Versus Sarah.
There's an individual game on this.
Fine. JTE, we have...
I'm Yeah, let me give you my top five real quick because I got to go.
Do you want me to remind you what's coming out?
I keep moving around here because people are staring at my phone pretty hard.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Do you want me to remind you what's coming out next week?
Yeah.
Do you want me to remind you what the new releases are?
No, no. They're Man from U.N.C.L.E. And then you have the big one is Trailer Compton, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think. Those are the only two major ones, to be honest with you.
Yes.
The other ones are all small.
Yep.
That's correct.
So number one, Straight Outta Compton. That's going to be, you know, no doubt in my mind. It's rated R, but it's multi-generational. Everyone, if you see how many people are here, you would be like, yeah, it's going to be huge.
What's the ratio? Is it mostly black and Mexican, and you're the only... Well, you're Mexican, too, technically.
There's one other white guy here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him. We tried to stay in contact, and he's left an ambulance, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I heard
the tensions are high over there.
World Star, and that was it.
Well, the NWA is really... NWA stands for No Whites Allowed.
Stop cutting him off. I need to know his answers.
Sorry.
Anyway, number one, I've got to get Straight Outta Compton. Number two, I was wrestling with this one. I thought maybe Man from U.N.C.L.E. could replace Mission Impossible, or Mission Impossible might be number two, but I'm going to go with Man from U.N.C.L.E. at number two.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really close, though. I think number three is Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I'm going to go The Gift. And then number five, I'm going to say Fantastic Four. Actually, you know what? Put Fantastic Four at four, put The Gift at five.
Okay, that's
I feel
not
like
a
that's
bad
a pretty, pretty.
You know what? That's
safe.
That's pretty close to mine.
You're gonna be.
Let's get a number on Straight Outta Compton for you, just in case I have the top five, same top five, and Sarah
I'm
does.
I'm gonna say 40 million.
An even 40. Okay, that's
even
not
40,
bad because
yeah.
Would you come up with that number? A lot of people drinking 40 ounces over there.
Exactly. Actually,
there you
they're
go.
Giving free Jerry curls over here, so I think I'm going to get one.
That would be all amazing
right,
on you.
All
right, dude.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
How's it going? I look forward to seeing this movie, and I'll see you guys next week.
Cool, man. Later.
See ya. All righty. Thank you,
So yours was The Gift, Evil Package? Evil Package, The Gift, because we got sidetracked from the
oh, final. Gosh. I picked that or Sex Trading.
Yeah, which one was it?
Sex Trading.
Okay.
Evil Gift, Evil Package, Evil Sex Trading, Evil Sex Trading.
Yeah, that's the best kind of sex trade.
Sex trading.
Yeah, the demonic kind. So you're going to go with Sex Trading?
Sex Trading.
Okay. Jonathan?
Well, that's the one I was going to go for, but...
You need to stick to your guns, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'll just do that one.
That's okay.
You going to hang in there with me?
So Sex Trading.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You guys are right.
Yes.
It's called like
High
Wonderful...
Five through the booth glass.
It's called like Wonderful... Partner something ridiculous. Anyway, that being said, good job. We got segued from it, but this is a segued type of show today.
I don't know if I can really count that as a win, though, because JT wasn't here.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that was just more for fun.
He's in Compton
the
doing
game.
The thing. He's such a pioneer, JT.
He just travels all the time.
He's just unbelievable. The guy he's underrated. He's one of the underrated schmoes, if not the most underrated schmo.
Is that the title you would give him?
Yeah, I'm going to call him.
Well,
he's every man's hero.
Most underrated schmo.
The guy saved us.
Who's
on the thing.
Who's most overrated schmo?
Maybe that's a question for the after hours.
Maybe that's a question for the comments. And
the most overrated. I don't know. Some people might say me, but they'd be stupid to say that. I don't know.
I almost stole your international titles game, and I was just going to write out comments that people said about you and then try and get you to pick which one was a lie.
That'd have been perfect.
I thought.
During the after hours?
They deleted all the comments.
No shit. They had to.
So I couldn't fulfill what my task was.
I had about 350 Twitter notifications and another like 600 Facebook updates.
Exactly. So I was going to take them, quote them, and then make my own Finstock comments game.
That
but
would have been
all
amazing.
Of them were removed.
But they would have been all positive because I destroyed that. So did you.
I did get one of them. One of them called you a gentleman. Another one told you to go home because you were drunk. But that was actually on our last week's episode.
That was. Well, I said I didn't like Simon Pegg's humor. I really got backlash for that. Sorry.
You also got asked, did he beat your dad up?
I just didn't like Shaun of the Dead, and I don't like the other one either.
The comments continue. Yeah. Well, let's continue with this week, more on Jason Bateman. So it's going to be Jason Bateman's top five grossing films.
Mm-hmm.
We will get into them starting with horrible bosses. Mm-hmm. One thing that we're not including on this list is Dodgeball, which I don't remember him being.
He was one of the announcers on it.
Oh.
But it's not enough screen time to give him
Gotcha. Well, credit. He was in Horrible Bosses. This movie, I know, was made into a sequel, but the sequel did not do as well. The original had, like, Jennifer Aniston in it.
Right.
Whole bunch of stuff. Honestly, I don't really remember this movie, except for wasn't she, like,
it was
Jennifer
Colin
Aniston
Farrell.
Was, like, a sexually aggressive dentist.
Yeah, she deep-throated a banana. Like, she took some classes how to deep-throat and stuff like that. It was amazing. Well, you know what you know.
I don't
know
if you're making that up.
No. In order to lose your gag reflexes, all you got to do is like really, with one hand, you grab your thumb and you squeeze it really tight. So what she had was, as she was deep throating a banana, she had somebody grab her left hand and the left thumb, and then you lose all your gag reflexes. But now what you don't want to do is swallow the banana, because I know some lady in New York, my buddy picks up dead bodies and stuff like that for the morgue, and this 700-pound lady swallowed a banana and died. Yeah, so it's not good. I've seen a picture of it, too. The guy's an idiot. He's the worst.
So for all of you out there, this is our PSA on don't swallow any bananas.
No. If you're going to put a banana in your mouth, make sure it has like some kind of like stopper.
Okay, we're going to move on to Identity Thief, bringing in 100. Oh, by the way, Horrible Bosses brought in $120 million in 2011, and Identity Thief brought in $137 million mm-hmm. in 2013. This was the height of...
Melissa McCarthy. It was like her coming out party.
And this is a year where she was just... Everyone was really... She transferred from TV really to film all around these movies.
It was
movies.
After Bridesmaids and stuff like that. So I think this was one of her first vehicles, actually, mm-hmm. after Bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy Seth Gordon, parlayed. He did this movie. He started with this movie called King of Kong. It was a documentary on, like, King Kong and Billy Mitchell, and it was amazing. But he parlayed it into an amazing career. This guy's... done Horrible Bosses. He did this one, a couple other movies he's done, and he's executive producer on like the Goldberg Show on ABC. You know, you make a good documentary, you know, get noticed. Boom.
Keep moving on. Yeah. All the way up to The Breakup back in 2006, made $147 million. Mm-hmm. Also a Universal picture as well as Identity Thief. It's really funny because like looking at this list, I actually really like Jason Bateman as an actor, mm-hmm. but what I do remember him more is like movies like or Arrested Development or talking about I really did like him in Bad Words. But when I think about these movies, Horrible Bosses, Identity Thief, The Breakout, they're really not on my list of like even rewatching.
No, these are program movies.
Yeah,
they're program movies.
This list kind of depresses me.
You throw them out when there's no comedies out there. You know, make some money here and there. Do. I mean, who was in this? Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
I think
right?
It's Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah,
again.
Peyton Reed directed this. The same guy who did Ant-Man. He was also going to do Fantastic Four.
Really?
Lucky he didn't.
Good. Run away.
Yeah.
Run away from Fantastic Four as of
out.
Now.
Yeah.
Number two going to Juno, bringing in $163 million back in 2007.
Also known as Grumpy Dumpy Lesbian who with a Bad Attitude.
I like this movie.
Most people do.
Everyone was on board for this movie, and then everyone like took like an exodus from it like 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
Like, when it came out, everyone loved it. And
It was a time slot hit.
She did Juno, and then what'd she do? She did Whip It. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, and then she did a couple other movies. She did the one with DiCaprio, Inception.
Yeah, she's coming out.
But I mean, look, she wanted to write in a lesbian scene where she experiments with Jennifer Gardner. Like there was she wrote the scene, and they were like, no, it's where Jennifer Gardner's like bending over in the shower, and like she like comes up behind her and like tries to like kiss her and stuff like that.
No, that was a lie. That one I got. Ha ha! You're smirking.
Either way, it was a time slot. This you open Juno now, it does Ricky and the Flash numbers.
Yeah,
it came out in 2007 when everybody was like emo, girls didn't know what they were teetering on their sexuality. You know, no, they weren't using condoms anymore. Michael Cera was a star, things like that.
All right. Well, speaking of superhero movies that were pretty much slammed by critics, Hancock also has had a lot. A bad word of mouth.
Yeah, I should never do a movie with cock in it.
It was Will Smith. He was like a superhero, but he had It was either, what do you have, a drinking problem or anger issues?
Yeah, it was drinking problem, something. Anger issues. You know, Dave Chappelle was seriously considered to play this role, which I would have really liked. That would have been funny. But, you know, at one point the film was much darker as well, where Hancock was so sexually frustrated because when he had sex with the ladies, he would kill them afterwards.
No.
I'm dead serious. That's not a lie. See, I'm not smirking. But they were like, this is just too much. So as Hancock was drinking, he becomes sexually frustrated because he's like, if I do have sex with somebody, then I have to kill him. That's what the movie was about. And obviously it sat on the shelf because it didn't get made probably because of that reason.
Well, it turned into, I believe he was an alcoholic or something.
Yeah, but he does have sex with somebody in the movie and like, it's crazy.
That.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
The movie's terrible.
It did open to like $60 million, though.
Of course it did. Charlize Theron, Will Smith at his height.
Oh, that's right. Charlize Theron was like also a superhero.
She was yeah.
But she was like, was she married to Jason Bateman?
Yes, correct.
Is that how he comes into play?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
They
this
find
was
out they're like long-lost lovers from like a couple of decades ago or
something. Going into upcoming films, the one every schmo is waiting to see. Or have pretty much already seen. Straight Out of Compton.
Mm-hmm. One more thing before this starts.
Oh, God.
Please, please, for the love of God, stop with the Straight Out of Compton memes. Okay? It's over. It's driving me crazy. I'm ready to get rid of all my social media until this is over with. It's worse than the rainbows. It's worse than the ice bucket challenge. At least those had some meaning behind it.
Don't you have one? Aren't
yeah,
you the
but,
focus
hey,
of the
I didn't make it.
But aren't you one? Don't you have
yeah,
one?
Well, I was drinking a bottle of Grey Goose. I was thirsty.
So are you going to delete your Straight Out of Compton meme?
I wish it was gone. There's too many
There's
of them.
There's no way.
Somebody
I
just
saw
have
your
like a vagina
to
there,
that
like
one.
Straight out of my mother's womb.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
That's, we need one straight out of, we need one straight out of meme that ends all the straight out of memes. I don't know what that is yet, but hopefully somebody finds it.
It's very interesting how there's like these fad social media things. Like everyone just creates the same thing.
People get very sheepy, you know. Anyway, I'm really excited for this movie.
I am too.
I loved NWA growing up. They were one of the first rap groups I ever listened to. My mom was like, "What are you listening to?" And I'm like, "This is NWA. They're out of the West Coast." And I was the East Coast guy. I mean, other than Creed, this is the movie I want to see the most. Michael, you know, the crazy part, Michael B. Jordan was offered the role of Dre in this, and he shut it down because he had to do fucking Fantastic Four. So there was a lot of bad decision making at this point.
It has 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. The press in LA for it is going crazy. It has replaced all the Fantastic Four billboards, and everyone seems really excited. It is a rated R movie, and it's supposedly only going to be in like 2,500 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about 1,000 less than we see some of our like superhero movies and such like that coming out.
There's probably some areas they can't do it. There's probably really legitimately some theaters that were like, I don't want to take this movie because it's going to, they probably think it's going to be violence, and that's just stupid and ignorant, but because it's a doc. But there's a lot of stuff in there that's going to really surprise people, and it's going to show, you know, there's like Dre, you know, Dre beats up women. I mean, it's a documented fact, and you'll see it in the movie. But it's a nostalgia tour for me. It's almost like seeing Notorious with, you know, the Biggie movie, which I think depicted, you know, Notorious's career pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, he only was in the limelight for 5 years or whatever it was, and you know, NWA has been around for a really long time. It's a really cool story. I don't know if they show it in the movie. I don't think they do anyway. It's Ice Cube. And I was there when he told the story because I used to work with some guys who used to work for Cube Vision. And he was at a nightclub with Puffy and Biggie, Ice Cube, in like 95 or whatever before Eazy-E died. And somebody comes up behind him and, you know, well, Cube was buying a drink and he's like, "Hey, give me your money." And he turns around and it was Eazy-E. And it was the first time they'd seen each other in like 8 or 9 years or something crazy like that. They talked for like 3 hours. It was really cold. It was the winter. They go outside. Eazy-E is dressed in like a wife beater. And Cube, they were trying to get a cab.
Got a lot of details to this story.
I heard it firsthand.
They went through every detail of this.
Yeah. And basically, Cube's like, "I'm going back inside. It's too cold." Eazy's like, "I'm going to go to my hotel. It's about 6 blocks down." Ice Cube thought that Eazy caught pneumonia while walking. Flew back to Los Angeles and died a couple of days later. Dead serious.
That was the most, like, I can tell you every single detail. And then at the end, and there, here you go, what happened.
Yeah, he died of AIDS. He caught the pneumonia that got him sick. And that's the onset of AIDS back in those days when they didn't know anything about it. Now they cure it with, like, Skittles. It's all good.
I have no idea what that story meant.
Yeah, it's true, though.
I'm so confused.
I think it's going to get Oscar buzz.
I think it, yes, it is going to get Oscar buzz. Yeah. It's a radar movie. Just to speak, I'm interested how much money this movie will make.
I think it's going to do $40 million.
I mean, we've seen the power of the R-rated movie, maybe especially more with like movies like American Sniper. Mm-hmm. But that had a whole nother element to it. Other big, the top 10 money-making R movies are Passion of the Christ, American Sniper, The Matrix Reloaded, Hangover Part 1 and Part 2, Beverly Hills Cop, The Exorcist, Ted, and Saving Private Ryan, and 300.
Nothing will ever beat Passion of the Christ.
No.
That thing did gangbusters and made Mel Gibson even crazier than he already is.
But I'm interested to see how much money this movie can make.
Little Eazy-E's son wanted to play Eazy-E, mm-hmm. but it didn't work out. But Cube's son was able to do it. To play Ice Cube, and he looks exactly like him.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a very interesting movie this weekend. Also coming out is The Man from U.N.C.L.E. This is a, you know, typical spy action thriller. It's got Guy Ritchie is directing it.
Yeah, he's
it
back
has
after a while.
Henry Cavill, Armie Hammer, Hugh Grant.
There's a hot chick in it. I don't know who she is, though.
Alicia
Malone?
Vikander?
Oh, yeah, her.
If Alicia Malone was in it, I would see it.
Yeah, she's
unfortunately,
great.
As it stands, I don't know if I'm going to be seeing this movie.
Look, it's from an old TV show in the 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, that was really ahead of its time. I catch a lot of episodes on Turner Classic or whatever it is, AMC. It's actually a really well done show. Warner's had this on the shelf.
This movie has been horrible.
It's tough to market. Everybody
people
knows the one
feed
guy.
Feed into these movies.
Armie Hammer. The last thing he did was the Lone Ranger, which wasn't good. And the other one was, Carol that does fucking Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they're both good looking guys.
They're great looking guys. You know, I don't think they've marketed this well at all. And being that it is a spy action movie and you have Mission Impossible out, you're going to see Mission Impossible over this, even though it's been out for, it's going to be out for 3 weeks. Man from U.N.C.L.E. just to me has not been pushed right at all.
Guy Ritchie hasn't done anything since Madonna.
And so. Guy Ritchie is not known for making blockbuster. I mean, he has the Sherlock Holmes, but that has its own franchise.
It's a built-in brand.
And it's,
he did Lock, Stock, and Two Barrels and whatever it is.
That movie is a cult classic. It didn't make box office money.
No, he came up with those camera tricks. I mean, he was the guy. Bullet slicing and all that other shit.
And he has interesting angles and sets up his shots in different
He's great. And
I'm not saying he's not a bad director. I'm saying that they haven't marketed this movie well. And I don't think it's going to make the money.
I think JT
was
right.
They also haven't released reviews for it.
That's true. I think JT was right with, it's going to be flip-flop between Mission Impossible and this. It's going to be very, very tight because of just the how hideous Fantastic Four is. You know, Cruise was going to be in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Cruise,
yeah. He dropped out to focus more on Mission Impossible 5, which
and
is probably the right move.
And they slated it for opening the same month?
They don't
care.
That's
funny. All right. Well, also coming out, it was mentioned on here, She's Funny That Way.
Yeah.
Do you have a story about this? Why am I telling people about this movie?
Imogen Potts is really hot. She's in this. But Owen Wilson's in it. That guy's... Ugh. Whatever. Jennifer Aniston's in it.
Yeah.
Peter Bogdanovich is directing it. He hasn't directed something in a really long time. I just found out he turned down Godfather and Chinatown. Peter Bogdanovich. He's very flamboyant and man about town. I think... You know, I forget what he's done. He did The Last Picture Show or something. I think he wrote that or something, which is a great movie.
Well, he did write the screenplay for...
Yes. Owen Wilson
like
plays
that.
A director.
He's known for, like, Paper Moon, What's Up, Doc, Target, The Last Picture Show.
It was very
show,
60s and stuff like that. But, he wrote this. It's about a director who casts, like, his call girl girlfriend in a movie, something along those lines.
All right. Well, let's get into our predictions because it's not going to be in the top five. So we're not going to talk about it anymore. JT already listed his five, which were Straight Out of Compton, then Going to U.N.C.L.E., then MI5, Fantastic Four, and rounding up the five would be The Gift.
Mm-hmm.
That is his top five. You said you might have a similar one.
It's pretty much right on point, and he has it at 40 where I have it at. You know what, though?
You're going to switch them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am going to go Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm.
Number one in a landslide. 40 million plus. White people are going to see this in droves, and that's where the money comes from. That's where that extra money comes from. Mission Impossible, number two. Probably like 18. Because the word of mouth's there, and it's still solid. Now, Man from U.N.C.L.E. at number three, I'll go with, I don't know, 16.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be super close. I mean, look, they're similar type espionage films. Mission Impossible has a brand, though, and it has Tom Cruise. The other two have Armie Hammer and Superman. Is what it is. Number four, you know, I want to put Gift at number four because I think Fantastic is going to be terrible, but there's still going to be people to watch this to see how terrible it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fantastic comes in at like 10, hopefully less than that, but I doubt it. And then you'll see Gift at like 8.
I mean, I think we're all just going to be very close on this one.
Yeah.
Because all that you switched was MI and U.N.C.L.E. And I really think JT has a really solid list.
He does.
These are the ones we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Straight Out of Compton is going to be number one.
It could do more than 40. It could do like 50. It depends. This is a solid movie. 92 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not just like, hey, this is a like Notorious or like a Tupac documentary or something like that. This is like a real legitimate story with some fantastic music. And I think you're going to see repeat viewers. And it could do 50. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, it's going to go to Straight Outta Compton. Then I'm going to give it to A Man from U.N.C.L.E. Pass it down to... See, this is where I might just have to change it because I was going to have the exact same list as JTE.
Mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible, Fantastic Four, The Gift.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me might just... And that's what I'm sitting with. And he said 40. I'm going to give it 55.
Wow.
I'm going to give it high.
Okay. That's a little high. Yeah.
You're at 50. He's at 40.
Right.
So
correct.
We'll just make that the game and see how it goes.
I like that idea. I think it's going to be very close. Like I said, Straight Outta Compton is a global phenomenon right now. You start pumping it out on Facebook like that. These memes are everywhere. You're going to get every race going to see this. There's a lot of like Chinese gangsters that are going to go see this. Everybody.
Everyone. Let's see what the callers have to say about our new releases and if they have any questions. Hello, you're on Box Office Mojo. Who do we got?
Or a breakdown.
That's what I think you. You're not on Box Office Mojo. No. I'm on Box Office Mojo right now.
Yes, there you go. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Dylan.
Hey, Dylan.
What's up, dude? What's going on?
Not much, man. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on an awesome weekend.
Sir.
Sarah, you were great during the after-hours show as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, she was fantastic. She held her own nicely. She answered her questions with dignity. She graduated into womanhood on that show.
Yeah.
I think that's an insult.
No.
I think that would be an insult if that was how I graduated into womanhood.
No, that was womanhood.
Through the after-hours show. I'm going to say no to that.
So you didn't have, because you were going 5 for 5 on a continuous basis here. You had Fantastic Four at number two. I mean, number one, right? Dylan?
Yes.
Yeah, mostly everybody did.
How do you feel about it? It's flop.
I mean, the studio tried to bury it, so it's kind of
It is.
You know, not releasing reviews until a day before.
The cast didn't see the movie. The cast didn't see the movie until the day of the screening.
Can you imagine having to promote a movie that you haven't seen?
They were
because they've been
slaughtered.
Pushing those actors out for weeks.
They got slaughtered.
It was
a bad campaign.
They hadn't even seen the movie.
Fox should be ashamed of themselves.
That's awful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think? You got a top five? You got a question? What's the deal?
Top five question. What you got?
Yeah, I got a top five. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Dylan!
So I got number one, Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
Number two, Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yep.
Three, Mission Impossible. God, I really don't want to put Fantastic Four at 4.
Nobody does.
But, yeah.
But it's going to do it.
It's going to be 4.
It'll do double digits by the skin of its teeth.
Yeah. And then, let's stick with The Gift. That was awesome.
So you, Sarah, and JT basically
we're
have
all the same.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very, very close this week on those things. It's going to what's going to decide it is the flip flop between Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Mission Impossible. Is that's what I have. So
we'll see. Yeah. Also, like how much money Fantastic Four brings in.
Yeah.
So is anyone just curious to see it?
Yeah. Hey, Dylan. So what happened with? Are you still on there?
Yeah, I'm still.
What happened with all the Schmoville memes from the After Hours show? They went into cyberspace.
Yeah, we were told to take all those down. I do still have a picture on my own.
Nice.
That I'm going to use for you. It's when you're drinking the Grey Goose.
Oh, that's still a good one. It's still the best one.
Yeah, I did save that one because I was watching it and I was like, I'll just take all these tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I saw you you just randomly walked on, did that, and I was like,
yeah,
I'm saving that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, did you have any other good ones that no one will ever be able to see again?
Because we went home and it was like, there was like 400 and something notifications, and I'm like, I can't do them now because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. But I was like, I can't wait to get up and drink my coffee and read these,
I'm
and they were gone. I was
like,
so angry.
There's so many things that I will never be able to see.
That's correct.
And
that's,
I want
that's correct.
Yeah.
There was
a lot the next day that we had to go
get rid of.
And clean up.
Well, because there was a lot of people drunk watching as well.
Yeah, and instead of commenting on the chat, a lot of people commented on the actual page.
Yes, which was mayhem. Okay. All right, dude, thanks for everything you do, dude.
Yeah, thank you, Dylan.
Yep, we'll talk to you next week.
Let's see if we got another caller. I'll say the right name of the show this time.
That'd be not bad.
Hey, you're here on Box Office Breakdown. Who do we got?
Hey, this is Hugo.
Hey, Hugo.
Hey, what's up, Hugo? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
I have a top five for y'all.
Oh, nice.
Oh, please.
Nice.
Please
We'd love
share.
To hear it. Let it go. Shoot.
Okay. So I'm going to take a chance here.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Right? Always fun.
Number one is going to be The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Wow. Hey, look, man.
It has 1,000 more theaters.
Look, everybody last week had Fantastic Four at number one and Mission Impossible stunned everybody. So I like it. Go ahead.
Number two, straight out of Compton. Number three, Mission Impossible. Number four, Fantastic Four. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Number five, The Gift.
Okay. Hey, man, what do you think U.N.C.L.E. does to beat Compton?
I say, 55.
Wow. Ah. Okay, look, Guy Ritchie has a lot of fans. You could be right.
Yeah, I love Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Okay, so you go.
I'm actually excited for this.
Okay, yeah. So you're on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So if you do win, we'll hit you up. And, for taking that kind of
that risk,
if you get that 5 for 5, we'll send you something pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Hugo. Thank you for listening and calling in.
Thanks, dude. Can we do one more? We got one more?
We got time for one more. Hello. Got someone on Box Office Breakdown. Who do we have?
Hi, what's up? I'm Dan from New Jersey.
Hey,
hey
what's up,
Dan from New
Jersey.
Jersey.
Hey, where at?
Hi, La Guitarra.
Yeah, La Guitarra.
Hello.
Hey, where at in Jersey are you from?
I'm from North Jersey, Bergen County.
Oh, nice, dude. Okay, like Route 78 or something like that?
Or actually not far from Route 17.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. What you got, man? You got a question? You got a top five? What's the deal?
Two things. I do have a top five, but also, Finstock, you were absolutely right about that darker version of Hancock.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Yeah, it's easily researchable, and no joke, the original title was Tonight He Comes.
Yes.
What?
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who wrote that?
Yep. But no.
Who wrote that and got it to the, was it optioned?
Yes.
With that storyline?
It was one of the best scripts floating around Hollywood because it was so dark and weird, but nobody wanted to touch it, so they had to figure out how to make it right. So they took a lot of the shitty elements out of
IMDb.
It. Yes, it
that's,
is. That is 100% correct. You couldn't find the thing where any facts about the Juno thing where she tried to kiss.
That's because that's a lie.
That might be a lie.
Interesting. Nah. That's so crazy to me that because that would basically make him a
Well, no, he's a superhero who's sexually frustrated. I mean, it's almost...
But also like a murderer.
Yeah, that's why he can't have sex. He probably blows it like a horse. It's, you know, he shoot out gallons of stuff. It's
okay,
crazy.
Sorry. Go back to Dan from New Jersey. Dan, please save me with your top five.
Yeah.
All right, so top five. Number one is Straight Outta Compton. I'd say about $44 million.
Yeah,
all
right, that's a good guess. That's a solid guess.
This has had good buzz since the first trailer. And also, having Dr. Dre release his new album last week is probably the best marketing move ever made.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Having JTE at the swap meet over there is probably the best move Compton will make all week.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm going to go with Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Three, Man from U.N.C.L.E. No one's talking about that movie.
I like your thinking.
Four, The Gift. Five, Fantastic Four.
Wow.
All right.
So we're almost there.
You're fairly close to Tom over here, but you're slightly different. So can we find you on like Facebook and Twitter and all that in case you win?
In case you win, I'll
post on the prediction post on
awesome
the Facebook page later.
Yeah, all perfect, because we have a
great,
bunch of
Dan.
New stuff to give away. Possibly,
and thank you for researching Tom over here. I don't always trust him.
Possibly
so much.
A new Point Break shirt that I just got. I have a bunch of these. I may start giving them away. They're
awesome.
They're form fitting and really cool. They make your, you know, if you have a nice frame. Form fits
they
your
accentuate
frame.
Your frame,
yes.
Is what he is trying to say. Thank you, Dan, for calling in, and thank all of the callers.
Do you always, wear no shoes?
I'm currently wearing no shoes. I'm so comfy
feet.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'm like in my baggy sweatshirt and my no shoes.
Yeah, she's having one of those days.
You know what?
It's nice overcast out here. It's not as hot as it was.
It's just one of those days where I just want to watch a movie.
Perfection. I think we did well without JTE today. You know, he made a call.
That's actually why I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I normally just dress up for JTE.
Yeah, of course.
But I knew he wasn't going to be here today.
Yeah, I know.
So I was
plus,
like,
he can't defend you, and there's no real, you know, middle gap between.
Are you tired? Do you recognize there's no barrier?
Yeah, there's no deflection
there's
technique.
There's no barrier. All right. We've gone over time.
Yeah.
And thank you all for watching us here at Box Office Breakdown.
Yeah.
Throwing a thank you out to Box Office Mojo for always helping us out with those numbers.
They do.
And the Popcorn Talk Network. You guys, comment, rate, subscribe. We will not delete your comments.
No, we don't delete comments
around
here. We
don't
do
that.
Yeah, be as vulgar as you want to be. No, I'm just kidding.
And thank you for anyone who tuned into the after show or into the Schmodown. We always appreciate all of you.
Just a quick complaint about the third round. Epoff and stuff.
No soapboxes.
Poof.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.